Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.
Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, "thou wicked and slothful servant," a sad indictment indeed. The gift of salvation and the promise of eternal life is a simple truth easily found in Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that anyone experience eternal damnation. So he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No election in these verses, as the Reformed doctrine falsely conveys. However, there are many other doctrinal truths found in the Scriptures that require diligently digging for the golden nuggets and the pearl of great price. These you must want with passion, for then will they be revealed to you if you search for them. Listen to Matthew 13:44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Rightly dividing the word of truth includes separating the gift from the prize and eternal life from the kingdom of God. In each case, one is attained by pure faith without works, and the other by faith plus works, as James emphasizes in his epistle. There is a truth you are going to learn in this series that requires an in-depth study of the authoritative word of God, and it will change your understanding of where the dead are at this very moment. You then will discover how misguided we have all been by oversimplified exegesis of the Scriptures by lazy students of the Bible. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ, will be upon your death, and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also." Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him, and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part one.
There are beliefs in the Christian faith that are widely accepted and embraced without question, yet they are baseless. Okay? There are beliefs in the Christian faith that are widely accepted and embraced without question, yet they are baseless. There are no foundation in Scripture to support the claim. For instance, infant baptism. Okay, we've dealt with that all fall. For 2 months, I've brought messages on that topic. Infant baptism. No basis, no claim to support infant baptism, yet it is embraced by a huge portion of the Christian community. And not even questioned. Christmas. Oh my, can I preach on Christmas? If you remember, Pastor Dixon at one time didn't stop using the word Christmas at Christmas time. And we just talked about the birth of Christ. And it got away from using the word Christmas. But there's no basis for it. It's Christ's Mass. What does that tell you? It's Catholic in origin, correct? Now, yes, we have two books that tell us about the birth of Christ, Matthew and Luke, but nowhere does it tell us when he was born, and nowhere does it tell us that we need to recognize it. But it has become so standardized in our culture today as a Christian holiday, and it's considered one of the most revered holidays of the whole year. Very little goes on Christmas. It used to be like that for Thanksgiving, but now all the stores are opening up on Thanksgiving, and Black Friday is now extending to Black Thursday, Black Thanksgiving Day. But Christmas, no foundation in Easter. Uh-oh, you're saying Easter? That's talking about the resurrection of Christ. But the term Easter is found once in the Bible. You can write this note down, write this reference down, Acts chapter 12, verse 14, and go back and look at it. I'm going to read it to you. And when he, Herod, had apprehended him, speaking of Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, wait a minute. If they're recognizing Easter the way we recognize Easter, why would Herod arrest Peter and wait until Easter was over before he brought Peter, who was a Christian, before the people? Easter was a pagan holiday. It was called Ishtar, and it was worshiping one of the goddesses, pagan goddesses. It was a pagan holiday. And how is Easter determined today? How do they calculate the day when Easter is going to take place? It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. Okay? That's how they determine when Easter falls. Sometimes it falls right in line with Passover. Sometimes they're totally two different weeks. But we should celebrate the resurrection of Christ around the time of Passover during the Jewish calendar, but not the pagan holiday of Easter, and use that term. It's used one time in the Bible, and it's referencing a pagan holiday. Other beliefs in the Christian faith that are widely accepted and embraced without question, yet they are baseless, like the Catholic Church is the mother church of all churches. The Pope is a holy religious leader. The Vicar of Christ means he's the representative of Christ, is an apostolic posterity of the Apostle Peter. Okay, there's no basis for those two things. It's incorrect. And then there are things that are lost, doctrines that are lost, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But believers who die in the Lord, do they go to heaven? So my message today is dealing with the intermediate state between death and the rapture. What is the basis of saying when we die, we go to heaven? And I'm going to show you that there is no basis. But we say it, it's used in every funeral. It is used in tracts. Do you know, when you die, do you want to go to heaven? I heard it referenced by a preacher driving up here this morning. The saints and the faithful brethren after death go to heaven when they die. Where was Jesus when he died? Okay, we're going to answer those questions. Do they go to heaven, and where was Jesus after he died? Something started to baffle me after delving deeper into God's word and reading passages such as the following. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wait a minute. If I die and go to heaven, why would I want to inherit the earth? Why would I want to inherit the earth if I die and go to heaven? Okay? I'm in heaven. Just, you know, pondered that for a while. You've been to funerals and they talked about loved ones and friends and Christians and brethren and other church members. You know, when they're in heaven and they're looking down at us, or they're up there singing with the heavenly choir, and we've heard that all. You've all heard that at a funeral spoken about a person who is deceased and knew the Lord. So how does one reconcile the apparent contradiction between these two beatitudes? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Well, one is talking about heaven, and one is talking about earth. Now, we know, and most of you should know, because we have dealt with this now quite often, the kingdom of heaven is just speaking of God's kingdom coming down from heaven. Or the kingdom of God is another reference to the kingdom of heaven. And that's the kingdom that God, we talked about in our Bible verse, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the whole universe. He created it. Everything is his. And he will bring his kingdom down here to this earth. And so, but some people just see the word heaven and focus on the word heaven there and think, okay, and the kingdom of heaven phrase is used extensively in the book of Matthew, that, oh, well, when we die, we go to heaven. There's heaven. There it is. There's proof. There it is right there. It's in the Bible. It's in Matthew. We go to heaven right there. Okay? No. No. We got to put the emphasis on the word kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is the important aspect, and that's talking about the millennial kingdom that's going to be coming to this earth. When we rectify that, we understand we're going to be on the earth, the kingdom's going to be on the earth. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The heaven, now look at this one, Psalm. And in some of my studies, this really, really started getting me thinking here. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. The earth has he given to the children of men. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. That is a factual statement there. The Lord is giving us a law of God, an absolute, a truth that cannot be ignored. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. We will discover that this absolute, this statement in Psalms, and also what we read in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, found in the above Psalms, is faithfully true in both life, in death, in resurrection, and in the eternal age to come. In the eternal age to come. What does an absolute mean? The law of gravity is an absolute. You can't defy it. It is absolutely truthful. You can't change it. You jump off of a bridge, you are not going to fall into the sky, you're going to fall into the river. You go downwards. You go into a downward direction. I've told you in the past, at the old temple building, there used to be a Saturday men's prayer breakfast. And women came and prayed, but then we would have breakfast, join together and have breakfast, and then we would be given names of people we need to go visit during the afternoon on a Saturday. But the men would come together and first go through a little Bible lesson discussion, and we were going through the book of Proverbs, and we were looking at the absolutes that are in the book of Proverbs. For example, here's another absolute, Proverbs 30:33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. Does churning milk, if you churned milk long enough, will it bring forth butter? How many of you lived on a farm and had to do that? And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Okay? If I came over there and took your nose and rang it real hard, every one of you, your nose would start to bleed. That is an absolute. That is a factual statement that cannot be altered. And then it finishes, goes on, it says, the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. The forcing of wrath, anger, constantly belligerent a matter over and over again. Sort of like what the Democratic Party is doing to our president. And just causing this strife in our land. How many heavens are there? How many heavens are there? Some of you know that answer because we've dealt with that before. One heaven created at the beginning of time was divided, or thus divided. Turn your Bibles to the beginning of your Bible, the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis means beginning. Verse 1, chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Three things he created. Beginning speaks of what? Time. God created time. Heaven speaks of spatial, space. He created space. We think of three dimension. We are in a three-dimensional space. Every object in here has a length, width, and height to it. Space. And earth speaks of matter. God created matter. So all in the beginning, he created time, space, and matter. Jump over to verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was on the first day. The second day we see, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament what? Heaven. Say it again. Heaven. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Well, where was God? If he created heaven and he was there before the beginning, there must be a different heaven. But this heaven is the firmament, and it's dividing the waters. The air you breathe is heaven. The air, the space above the earth, which goes about 50 miles high, is heaven. Now, it said it divided the waters from the waters. You got to, and creation scientists have bore this out. This is where I understand, my best understanding is from the creation scientist community, that before the flood, there was a canopy, a water canopy, above the atmosphere, above our air, that surrounded the earth. Okay? They had the water on the earth. Now remember, there was no rain up to the flood. And there was a water canopy, and people lived a long time, 600, 900 years. So the water canopy protected the earth better from radiation from the sun, the solar radiation. It buffered the earth. So people were able to live longer. It kept the climate even tempered all around the earth. There was no Arctic and Antarctic. You didn't have glaciers. So it was the same temperature all the way around the earth. The earth was very lush. And most likely there was far less water on the surface of the earth except there was underground aquifers that fed the plants, because they say the land was very lush. There were rivers. The Bible talks about rivers in the Garden of Eden. So there were rivers, but everything was fed by a mist, but not pouring down rain, sort of like dew that we have in the summer. So this huge barrier around the earth. Well, at the flood, the Bible speaks, the fountains of the deep let loose, and the rain came down from the sky. There was that water vapor, that water barrier released and came down upon the earth. And we have much more water on the face of the earth. And we have all kinds of changes in climate, different types of climate, dry areas, very hot, to the extreme colds in the poles. And that's why you had animals that were on the ark that became extinct after they came off the ark, because they couldn't survive. They couldn't find as much vegetation, and they couldn't handle the cold. So there was some of these animals that died off and did not multiply after the flood. But the earth changed drastically. But there's the firmament is called heaven, and it's divided in two. Now let's jump to the fourth day of creation, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament in the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Okay? Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, which is the moon. And he made stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And that was the fourth day. So do you see that you have the atmospheric heaven that extends about 50 miles high? And then you have what we call the universe, or space, where the sun, moon, and stars are. That's the second heaven that was created by God. But then we are taught, and you have it in there in your scriptures, Paul said there's an eternal heaven noted as the third heaven. Paul said, and he was speaking in visions and revelation, and he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. And you have to understand, men were described as angels, and angels were described as men. When man saw an angel, when mankind, a woman or a man, saw an angel, the angel always appeared as a man. Not with butterfly wings on his back, he appeared as a man.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.